Now, scientists recently discovered a novel species of fungus in Ireland that turns its hosts, wait for it, into zombies. Thankfully, we are talking only about it impacting spiders that are found in very dark spaces. Recently, Michelle Brown went to meet with Tim and Pam Fogg, who have come across the remains of these zombified spiders on their explorations. The husband and wife team, who run the company called Rope Access Specialists, brought Michelle to White Father's Cave in County Cavan to see them. Now, I cannot emphasise strongly enough, these are trained experts and they know exactly what they are doing when they enter a cave. It is not safe to go into a cave without this expert knowledge. So in the following report, as they drive along the Cavan-Fermanagh border, we first hear how they became professional cavers and some of their extraordinary adventures and experiences.
Probably from university days, I got into outdoor pursuits, all the rock climbing and canoeing and caving, a degree in geography. I was always interested in geomorphology in the outdoors, and then combined that with teaching outdoor activities in outdoor centres in Ireland. So it's just been a gradual progression.
My background is very similar. We went to the same university, I did environmental science. I first came here in 1970 when we formed a caving club at the New University of Ulster in Coleraine. We came down here and I got captured by the interest in caves, and together we run a company called Rope Access Specialists, which provides safety for camera teams and film crews, mostly in natural history filming.
You've done a lot of work in the area of natural history yourselves, have you?
Yeah, I mean, we're always interested. We're scientists, I suppose, by training, but we've never been academics. But we stray occasionally and write the occasional paper, say, on the geology and some of the interesting cave features here. Then recently we've had this zombie spider phenomenon, which we've written a couple of papers along with other people about.
You've been interviewed all over the world, I hear, have you?
That's extraordinary how interested people around the world were about these zombie spiders. People from the States were asking us to give interviews, and Canada and Germany, and yeah.
I think people get very excited when there's a new species.
They do.
Especially one that's named after David Attenborough.
Yeah, the fact we can do it here 5 miles
in our back garden, really. Yeah, there's still new species to be found. They might be small and they mightn't be very pretty, but they could be very, very significant.
Yeah, and caves are a great place to do it because you get these sort of isolated populations.
But you do a lot of work for the BBC Natural History Unit.
That has been our main employer over the last 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, very lucky to get off all around the world seeing some of the most iconic species, from orangutans to Sumatran rhinos and things. And always all we're doing is getting the camera and the crew into places that they would have difficulty getting to safely without our rope work and so on.
We're here now. So you can hear we're right on the main Sligo Road there.
So where in the world are we talking about that you've been?
Well, initially when we were really into caves and finding new caves, the place to find really big new caves was in remote parts of the world. So we would look at geology maps of the world and see where there was limestone, because really it's the magical rock that makes big caves. So we'd look at the geology maps, see where there's big areas of limestone. And they're often wonderfully remote, like in Borneo or in the highlands of New Guinea or China. And we would become parts of big caving expeditions that would go and find lots of new caves.
Yeah, great, walking where no person had walked before. A lot of times.
It was often hard work. I mean, it was cave entrances hidden in thick rainforest. We'd have to have camps in rainforest for maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks. Hard living conditions.
Okay.
But the rewards were great, because as soon as you found an entrance hidden deep in a rainforest, you'd know nobody had been in there before. And some of these caves are massive, terribly exciting, because you know your light was the first light that ever been shone in these incredible big passages and stalactites and underground rivers.
The Marble Arch Cave is around about 9 kilometres of passage. The ones we're exploring in Borneo now is 270 kilometres.
Very slippery, yeah?
Yeah, just need to be very sure of your foot every time.
Okay.
So, what we have is the river running in front of us from left to right. There's three caves here in the, what's called the St. Augustine or the White Father's Cave, and two of the caves are to our left. This is the longest one on the right, which is White Father's Three, and you can really see that it is a shallow cave. There's only about 3 metres of rock that forms the roof.
And Tim, can you just tell me very briefly the background to the whole Zambezi spider?
About 3 years ago, the BBC were doing their Winter Watch programme out in the east of Northern Ireland in a place called Castle Espy. And during that, somebody from Castle Espy brought them a sample of a dead spider with fungus growing out of it. And they went, whoa, that's interesting. We'll pop this off to an expert and see what he thinks of it. And they sent it to Harry Evans, who looked at it and said, very interesting. This could very well be a new species.
Harry's a mycologist, is he?
He is a mycologist. He'd be the expert in fungi that take over insects. Pam saw it first and she said, did you see this thing about spiders on Winter Watch? And I went, we've got photographs of this from White Father's Cave. Same thing. So I sent Harry a picture of ours and he said, yes, this is the same thing. And then I started collecting them a lot and sending them to him. He started culturing them, getting DNA sampling done and everything. Definitely new species, now named after David Attenborough. And we also found another one on moths, which is the same sort of idea. The zombie spider bit is it appears that this fungi actually influences the behaviour of the animals that they parasitise, which is extraordinary because it hasn't got a brain, but there's a central nervous system in the things that they take over, and they make them do things, which is extraordinary.
Like dopamine, is it?
Dopamine is the idea, yeah. So it's a chemical, a happy chemical, not so happy for the spiders, unfortunately, but in this case, it seems to make the spiders come out of the cracks and get into their webs more than they do normally. So they expose themselves more to the drafts that run through the cave, and that shifts the spores of the fungi, which is to the advance of the fungi.
And so we're going to see these zombie spiders here. They were known to be in South America as well.
Yes, they've been found in South America. That's a different species, but it's a cordyceps, and it does the same thing. There are also cordyceps in Southeast Asia, and they influence ants. The one in South America influence ants to climb up to the top of the trees and then die, so the spores get blown around there. So, yeah, it's a fascinating story, and it's extraordinary that a fungi can influence an insect's behaviour. What's extraordinary about this cave is that, as you've seen, it's really accessible, fairly close to the road. But if people who didn't understand got in here, they could do a huge amount of damage to the cave. They could also do a lot of damage to themselves, because this river, in flood, almost touches the roof here. If you get washed in, you just wouldn't get out.
What was the fascination for caves for you?
Initially, it was a great fun sport to do. But then I think the thing that's really got to Pam and I is finding new stuff, finding new caves. And we've been lucky to travel all around the world and find a lot of new caves and be the first footprints, the first light to see these places, which is extraordinary in this modern day.
Caving isn't really just a physical activity, it's oenology, it's speleology, the scientific study of caves. And when you think about it, in a cave you've got biology, the study of any creatures in there, you've got the geology, the geomorphology. There's so many elements to being in a cave as well as just the physical activity. The physical activity is fun because you're crawling, squeezing, climbing, but there's so much else. I mean, as soon as you go into a cave, you're thinking, well, I wonder how it was formed, or what way is it going to grow?
The very first thing we do when we find a new cave is to map it. So there's another complete area of mapping, which has taken leaps and bounds. When we started, it was just compasses and clinometers. Now it's all electronic firing lasers about getting lovely 3D pictures and things. So, yeah, it is. It's a huge ology. There's a huge amount involved in it. I mean, we'll do some photography later on and you'll see that's very different. You've got blackness. You can open the shutter on a camera and then turn the light off, and then you can walk around. You can be 3 or 4 times in the same picture just by turning your light on.
Yeah.
So we're just coming towards the dark passage here, and we're in an area that we call the twilight zone. And this is the area that one of the spiders that gets infected lives. It's the smaller one, and then deeper in we get the bigger one, the Metamelardi, which is the common cave spider. You can see a few webs there on the wall. They're very clever, because there is a draft flowing in here so that they catch insects when they're flying in. But that's one of the egg nests.
Hanging
from
something there. There's another one there.
There's an infected one. You see? Can you see the legs sticking out from that?
So the spider is almost enveloped.
You can see the stalactites there and the stalactite.
Anytime a drop of water falls off, it's just a little tiny ring of calcium carbonate crystals.
I can just turn your light out for a moment. You can see they're really thin.
Quite bleak.
Yeah.
Then you just get the translucence. Beautiful.
Okay, so we've come in now, we've come in along the passage around about 30 or 40 metres into a big chamber, but getting here meant wading up to our knees and above, so we're a little bit damp now we're in here. And we've got into a big chamber, and you can hear there's a little bit of a waterfall going down there, and then the passage is continuing off in the distance. So this is the biggest chamber in White Fathers. It's a lovely place, but we're right away from daylight now, and if we were to turn off our lights, this is pure blackness. You will see no light in here. Unless we bring light in here, there never is light in here. So this is the proper cave blackness, velvety blackness.
And tell me what we saw along the way.
So as we came in, this cave is extraordinary because, as I said before, it is very close to the road and relatively easy access, but there are a massive number of what we call speleothems. They're the stalactites and the stalagmites and the curtains. There's a mass of them in here. Really, really beautiful, beautiful place. And they're all very delicate, so it's quite good that they remain this way, you know. And unless you're experienced, it's very easy to break these things without even realizing you're doing it, just by touching them. So this is a delicate place and a sort of secret place, really, which not many people come to.
Will we see some spiders in the big chamber?
Yeah, we're getting just a little bit deep now. There are a few spiders here, but they tend to be a little bit closer to the entrance, which is still in total blackness, but a little bit closer to their food source, which is wind-blown insects coming into their webs. So we saw a lot of spiders coming in, and moths, and we found one which was infected with a fungus, and we saw some egg cases from the common cave spider. They're full of thousands upon thousands of tiny little spiders, which around now the egg case will burst open and the spiderlets have a thread of web coming off and they blow in the wind. They're called parachuting spiders, and that's the way they get around, and that's the way they find new territories to live in.
There seems to be a lot of midges here, is there?
Yeah, they tend to be blown in, and there'll be a thing called a fungus gnat that likes to come in here and spend its life. They're the main food of the spiders.
You see kind of what looks like silver and gold on the ceiling of the caves.
Yeah, what they are, they're actually just droplets of water sitting on top of a mixture of fungus and bacteria. Some are yellow, and that's the gold, and some are white, and that's the silver. It's called wall fungus, and it has a very distinctive smell, which is the sort of the smell of caves. But they do look really lovely. It looks like just sparkly roof, and I can imagine people coming in and thinking it was gold or silver on the roof and getting quite excited.
And you wouldn't see any bats in this far, would you?
You do get bats in here. They tend to use it as a summer roost. And there'll be the Dorbenton's bat that come hunting insects over the water. But I doubt if there are any in here at present.
And what else might you see in here?
Very occasionally. I think just on the way in, on the top of a rock was what looked like otter sprate. That's otter poo. And I think otters do come in and go through this because there will be fish in some of the pools later on. What happens as you go further on, the caves are around about 300 or 400 metres long, and the water gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So if we were to go on and try and get out the far end, you have to swim, and it's very cold at this time of year, so we won't do that.
Have you done that?
Yeah, we do it quite regularly.
Is it nice?
Yeah, it's great. Love it. It's great fun swimming in a cave.
Refreshing.
Yes, and again, taking lots and lots of care that there isn't any flood, because the water would touch the roof at the end and you couldn't get out. And if you got washed down in it in the current, you could be in real trouble.
And I don't imagine there's any coverage down here.
No, there is not. No. No way of getting help unless you've told somebody you're going.
You seem to be enjoying yourself here.
You never know what you might find.
So how long are you coming into caves now?
30 or 40 years, maybe more.
And you still love coming down?
You never know what you're going to see. You could come to the same cave 100 times and you might see something different. So there's always something to see. There's all things happening. They're very dynamic places, caves. So we have this lovely chamber with a nice flat floor. And then the ceiling is really quite unusual. It's just completely crisscrossed with bulbous calcite features. It's like, I actually haven't seen a roof like this in any other cave, really.
I think they're quite soft as well, whereas a stalactite would be quite hard. These are quite soft. It's called soft calcite, and it is quite unusual. There's a lot of it in here.
How would Irish caves compare to caves you've seen all around the world?
Well, caves do vary a lot in their character, and particularly in the tropics. The stalactites and stalactites tend to be a lot bigger. There's a lot of rain and a lot of heat, and you get these massive stalactites and stalagmites. Temperature, it's much colder here than it is there. I mean, sleeping underground in Borneo or somewhere is really comfortable. It's a lovely temperature. You know, you just wander around in your shorts and nothing else. It's really lovely.
I think the thing about the tropical caves like Borneo and China is, to get a big cave, you need a big depth of limestone and you need lots of water, because you need the water to find the cracks in the limestone, dissolve the rock and make the cave passage. So if you go somewhere on the equator with lots of rain, you are going to get a big cave passage. And the caves in Ireland are very beautiful too, because they're very varied.
Yeah.
Some lovely river caves, lovely vertical shafts. I think the variety in Ireland means a lot.
True. And then we've been caving in northern Russia, where everywhere was ice. When you were anywhere near the entrance, the floor was all ice, and there were ice stalactites, and they're absolutely beautiful. And then we also caved in the desert in the United Arab Emirates. And there the temperature was around about 35 degrees, almost unbearable heat and 100% humidity. And that was just very, very hard to get around.
Still very beautiful though.
Oh yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah, we've got new species there. We found a bug there that was new to science as well.
They are very beautiful, but they are very hazardous. And this is a very accessible cave, but it's also exceptionally hazardous in that if you don't know the weather forecast, it floods the roof. You can see that it's just full of obstacles, trips, falls. So if anybody does want to go underground, you can't just head in on your own. You have to be going with somebody who knows what they're doing and so on.
If you try to imagine how hard it would be for us now, we've only walked about 5 minutes into here. But imagine trying to get out without any light. So lighting is really important. I mean, our major tool for cave exploration is having a good light, a light that works and keeps going for a long time and so on.
Do you ever worry about bringing the fungus out and it spreading?
I don't think there's much danger of it spreading. I think it's very specific to these temperatures, this environment. I don't think it would do much harm if it did spread. It's a very interesting thing. There's not much of it. As you see, we've only found one example here. Probably the most interesting thing about it is that the chemicals in it are very interesting to medical research. It's been found that some of these chemicals do have influences on cancers and so on. So there's a lot of interest in the fungi producing interesting chemicals, just like penicillin. These have a chance of being something quite useful to us in the future.
And it's only found in two spiders that you know that are found in the UK.
That's as far as we've found so far, and it's very limited in its area as far as we can see here as well. We find them in this cave and a couple of other caves. I'm sure if people spent more time looking, they might actually find them in other caves in Ireland and other caves in UK. But at present, this species is here in Northern Ireland, a bit in the south, haven't found it anywhere else. That's good, isn't it?
Thank you very much indeed, Michelle.